monitor his word in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So as we can see, our pastor and the wife, they are not around, they travel. I believe by the grace of God, next Sunday they are going to be with us by God's grace. The Lord who has taken them to where they are, he will bring them back safely in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you. We worship you. We exalt your name. Thank you because the Bible says you have not asked the house of Jacob to seek you in vain. We thank you because our seeking you this morning will not be in vain in Jesus' name. Lord, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We thank you because you have created gladness and excitement in our hearts to come to your presence. We could have been in a different place entirely, but Lord, we have chosen to come to your presence because we love you. Father, as we have acted in obedience, Lord, even to your word, and we have come here this morning, our heart cry is that you will bless us abundantly in the name of Jesus, that our coming here will not be, oh God, Lord, a time-wasting exercise in the name of Jesus. But Lord, in your infinite mercy, you will reach out unto us and you will meet every need in our lives in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everlasting Father, Lord, the Bible says, the entrance of your words, it give light and it give understanding unto the simple. Lord, we are asking that give every one of us simple heart this morning. Lord, empty us of every form of self. Give us a humble heart, a receptive heart, even to be able to receive your words, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we remove every barrier, every limitation between us and you this morning in the name of Jesus. Every wall that will not allow us to be partake of that blessing, we pull them down in the name of Jesus. Lord, I commit myself unto you. The Bible says, the Lord my God has given me the tongue of the learning to speak a word in season. To him that is weary, say, he awakes me morning by morning. He awakes me to hear as a learning. Father, let me, O God, hear you and speak accordingly this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. The word in season that you have for your people, Lord, let it reach out unto us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let it not be hindered by any means in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let it not be influenced, O God, by any human wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. But Lord, let it come expressly, O God, as you desire it. And let it accomplish your plan and your purpose in our lives in the name of Jesus. Because it is written that your word will not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish those things you are pleased with, and it shall prosper in the things where you have sent it. Father, let your word prosper our lives in Jesus' name, amen. And let it accomplish your divine purpose in the name of Jesus. Every territorial spirit, every spirit of distraction that we want to take the heart of your people away from you this morning, Father, I subdue them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, their operation and their enterprise will not prosper over our lives, but our gathering this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we declare your lordship over our lives, over our gathering in the name of Jesus. We sanctify this environment in the name of Jesus. We command every other power, every other contrary, let them bow before you in Jesus' name. Thank you, mighty Father. We appreciate you because you are a faithful God. We give you all the glory because you hear and answer our prayer. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Once again, you are all welcome in Jesus' name. Sorry, the technical has just given me this. I'm not going to use it. I don't want the law of distraction. So you're going to help me. So I think I have just six slides there. Actually, these slides, I made it because the comment of my wife last time that I had the opportunity to preach. So she was saying, oh, it's good to make this slide. I said, well, I don't really. He said, well, I had to listen to her. So, and because of that, we have about six slides. So let for me I don't want any other thing. I just want us to focus and then write as much as possible. But even the slides, I still did it in such a way that you still have to write. I will encourage you to write. Please, bear with me. That is just my own style. So, please, the technical, all you just need to do, as I mentioned, the relevant point, just help me to scroll to the next one. So basically what we have there is just something that will tell us, okay, where we are, and there's some scripture that we're going to be looking at. In case you miss those scripture, you can easily write them down. I pray that the Lord himself will speak to us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So as we have seen on the screen, the title this morning is, I Will Serve the Lord. I Will Serve the Lord. So I'm sure we have heard this so many times in different ways. But the word of God is new every day. So we cannot overhear this. So the important thing is for us to open our heart and be ready to hear something new from God. God, the Bible says, once have I spoken and twice have I heard. So God says things repeatedly so that it can stay, so that we can absorb it into our spirit. You understand our nature as human beings. We can easily get carried away. We can easily forget things. But he wants to keep reminding us so that we don't have any excuse to say, oh, well, I forgot. Our God is ever faithful. He's full of loving kindness. And I pray that we will not take it for granted in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. That is where the title is coming from. And I will read. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a, you know, decision somebody made. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made up his mind. It's as simple as that. He didn't care about what other people are doing. Other people may choose to serve other gods. Gods on the other side, God of the Amorites. But he said, for me, this is what I'm choosing to do. I mean, we've seen a lot of decisions like that in the Bible. Somebody like Daniel. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, he said, he proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So Christianity is about you, you know, making a decision. Making a decision. Over some years back, I gave my life to Jesus Christ because I decided to make a decision. For over 2 years, God, you know, the Spirit of God was convicting me, and I was not willing to surrender. But that day came, I surrendered. I took that decision that day, and since that time, I've never regretted it. And I pray that you too, you will not regret any decision you have taken in the name of God in Jesus' name. Amen. And it is a fact. I can boldly tell you that you can never regret it. You will never. As long as you obey and you do according to his own instruction. Praise the Lord. So that was a decision that Joshua made. Because he saw what everybody was doing, and he took a decision. So God is expecting you to make a decision. You know, it can be personal, and it can be, you know, collective. But it has to be personal first before it becomes collective. Because what you do not have, you cannot give. If you are saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, but you are not serving the Lord, that does not make any sense. So it has to be personal first. It has to come from you first. And that is why this study say, I will serve the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I will serve the Lord.
I will serve the Lord.
I will serve the Lord. You will serve the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at, you know, few things here this morning. I'm trusting God that the Lord will help us with our time. Number one thing is that you are born and saved to serve God. You are born and saved to serve God. Have you ever asked yourself why, what was the reason why, you know, you have come to this world? And again, not everybody that is born to this world that is serving God. So now, why are you saved? These are the things you should ask yourself. There was a conversation between Jesus Christ and Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And we all know the story. But the important thing that Jesus Christ was passing across to Nicodemus there is that he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, do not marvel that I'm telling you, you know, you must be born again. So there is time to be born of flesh, and there is time to be born of the spirit. So everybody that is born into this world is born of the flesh. But when you take a decision and you give your life to Christ, you are born of the spirit. So there is a purpose why you are born. And for you and I, there is a purpose why you and I were being saved. We are born and saved to serve the Lord. So the two of them, they are very, very important. The two of them are very important. I always tell people, I say, God is the creator of everybody in the whole world, but God is not the father of everybody. Because John chapter 1 verse 12 tells me, as men that have received him, to them he gave the power to be called the children of God or sons of God, depending on the version you are using. So when you give your life to Christ, you have become a child of God. God has become your father. He has become your heavenly father, your spiritual father. But those who have not been born again, God is not their father. God is just their creator. And I pray that every one of us will be established in father-children relationship in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 to 20. I will just paraphrase it. Because for us to know that we are born and, you know, saved to serve God, when God created Adam, he put him in a garden. And he brought so many things to him. He said he should name them. He occupied him. And while he was doing that, God now realized that, no, he needed somebody to help him. So it was the plan of God for him to take care of the garden. God created him for a purpose, you know, to do something. God didn't just create him and just abandon him there. He gave him what to do. He occupied him. And he gave him a helpmate. And he wanted him to do certain things for him. God could have done those things by himself, but God was looking for a partner. So when you are serving God, you are partnering with God. It's a privilege, it's an opportunity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible tells us God spoke to Moses. God spoke to Pharaoh through Moses. He said, let my people go that they may serve me. Why will God deliver the children of Israel? The answer is very clear, so that they can serve their God. Why has God delivered you? Many of us, we don't know that God has delivered us. And it is a fact. If God were to open your eyes and see all, you know, battles that is, you know, fighting on your behalf, you will learn to appreciate the Almighty God. Because of your own, you have no power at all. It is God that is preserving you. Praise the Lord. So God went to that extent for the children of Israel so that they can serve him. The first plague, second plague, up to 9 or 10 of them. And God was emphasizing that, let my people go that they may serve me. And if you don't let them go, this is what I'm going to do. Because God, you know, wanted that fellowship. He wanted his children to serve him. I pray you will serve God in Jesus' name. And I will serve God with my household in Jesus' name. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you show forth the praise of him who has called you out of the kingdom of darkness unto his marvelous light. God wants you to show forth his praise by serving him. How can you show forth the praise of God when you are not serving God? You are not reflecting the glory of God. You can't just stay on your own in isolation and say, you know, you are just by yourself. You have been born again. You just want to remain a lone ranger. You cannot show forth the praise of God. Never. One of the ways to show forth the praise of God is by serving God actively. Praise the Lord. Those who fail to serve God, they will serve the enemy. It is a fact. It is not a curse. By the grace of God, I do not have permission and I will not curse anyone. But if those who chose not to serve God, they will serve the enemy. There is no other way. Some people, they may not know. When you serve God, you cannot serve the enemy. You only serve one. Look at what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. He said, if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord your God, he said, choose for yourself these days who you are going to serve. Ask that if, you know, the God that on the other side, or the God of the Amorites, which your father served, they perish. That is the enemy. Gods of Amorites, small g with S, pluralized. Gods. Praise the Lord. And I pray that we all serve the living God in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There are two categories of people in church. There are two categories of people in church. Number one, the liabilities. There are people who are liabilities. And there are people that are assets. When you apply on your resume, I'm sure many of us will say, I'm an asset. Nobody say I'm a liability. If you put that there, nobody will ever hire you. They will not. I can see one of my sisters shaking her head. That is true. How can you write there you are a liability? Nobody will hire you. That's automatic. They will say that person, something is wrong. So all of us will say I'm an asset. So meaning that all of us will agree that we want to be on, we want to be assets. And God is looking for assets. Of course, God can take liability and turn his life to become an asset. That is what God can do. But God will not be impressed. You are liable to remain as liability. That is not profitable unto God at all. God wants us to be ultimately to become asset. Let's quickly look at a few things. There are similarities between the two. Let's open our Bible to maybe a fast read that can help us to read Matthew chapter 25. Verse 14 to 19. Matthew 25, verse 14 to 19. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 14 tells us that for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servant and delivered his goods to them. So that means that master, he entrusted all of them with something. He trusted all of them. He did not despise any one of them. He entrusted all of them with something. Verse 15, it tells us, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. So each servant was given according to his own ability. So no excuse. The master gave them according to their ability. And the same way you and I we are. So you do not have any excuse to say, I do not have anything. God has given you something according to your own ability. And the last thing there that they have in common, there was a time of reckoning. Because if you look at verse 19, it says that after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Time of settlement, account settlement. For them to come and, you know, make an account of what they have done with the talents that they've been given. So the same thing is going to happen to every one of us. There is going to be a time of accountability. There is going to be a time of settlement. That the master is going to come and going to say, okay, tell me what we have done with your, you know, with what I have given you. We do not have any excuse. Let's quickly look at, you know, the characteristics of, you know, the liabilities. And again, this liability, you can call them receivers. They just receiving. Number one thing there is that for that servant, he kept his talent. And when you keep a talent, what happens to it? It depreciates. You cannot keep a talent and expect it to appreciate. It's going to depreciate. That is a fact.
Matthew 25, verse 18, it tells us that, but he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his lost money. Look at that. For whatever reason, we are not going to look into the reason why he did that. But some of us will have an idea. But the important thing is that he kept it. He didn't do anything with it. And that would definitely depreciate. Number two things that we need to look at there is that characteristics of liability is that you can call this waster of heavenly resources. They are wasting heavenly resources. And I pray that you and I will not become waster of heavenly resources in Jesus' name. John 15, verses 1 and 2 says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, it takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. That is God for us. They are wasting, you know, heavenly resources because there are other people who need it. So the Bible says that, you know, it takes them away so that other plants will have enough nutrient, you know, to be able to grow and produce more. And I pray that that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. So you will not be cut off in the name of Jesus. Number three things, you can call them spiritual robbers. Spiritual robbers. If you look at the book of Malachi chapter 3, from verse 8 to 10, he said, you know, you have robbed me. And this, where? In offering and tithe. He said, you have robbed me. God has invested into your life. And the Bible is saying that they are robbers. They have robbed him. So the liabilities, they rob God. Now come to think of it. I'm not here to preach about tithe and offering. It's a choice that everybody has to make. Since I've given my life to Christ, I've made that choice. They don't need to preach that to me at all. And God has been helping me. So, but think about it. You have a family. The husband, he goes out to work. He brings income. The wife goes out to work. He brings him. Both of them, they are keeping their income. And then there are things to be done in the house. They have bills to pay. And everybody's holding on to his own income. What is going to happen in that house? It's going to be in a mess. There will be crisis there. The children will begin to beg outside, even for what to eat. The same way we treat God. You don't need to be preached about tithe and offering. If you understand that principle, it is an opportunity for you to be blessed. The liabilities, they just want to be receiving. Pastor, pray for me. Man of God, pray for me. You know, do this for me. Everything, me. They don't see any reason to contribute to the things of God. They have to wind them. They have to pressurize them. They have to use all the, you know, what they call it, vocabularies in the dictionary. Why? The Lord will help you. The Lord will help me in Jesus' name. Amen. They are seasonal Christians. They are seasonal Christians. It troubled my heart when they would say, it's too cold. I cannot come to church. When it's too cold, do you go to your work? Let's think about it. If you want to serve God, there are people who have responsibility in the household of God. And because it's too cold, you will not see them. The work will be left undone. That is not proper. If it's too cold, I am sure you do every other thing. But when it comes to the things of God, we rationalize it. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, he said, why the earth remaineth, seed time, harvest time, hot and cold, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So our God is the God of the winter, God of summer. God created everything. Enjoy it. You have no excuse. You have no excuse. To the glory of God, I am not boasting here. Since I've given my life to Christ over 25 years ago, I have never, because of sickness or anything, missed Sunday service. It has never happened. God has been faithful. Come winter, even if except the vehicle cannot move. But God has not allowed that. We're close to that about maybe more than 10 years ago. But eventually the car started and we got to church. We were there a bit late. God is looking for people who are faithful, who want to serve him. Our God is not a God of, you know, summer alone. Or God. It's God of all worlder. So God, see your faithfulness. God, see your genuineness, even in your relationship, in serving him. We don't have excuse. I noticed during winter, a lot of people, they disappear in church. Where do they go to? I'm wondering. What is the problem? But yet, we can do, we can buy grocery, we can do shopping and all of that during winter. Christmas, at the peak of winter, people, you see them at the, you know, shopping complex, doing shopping everywhere. Nothing stops them. The Lord will help you, the Lord will help me in Jesus' name. Let's look at the assets, because our time is fast running. The assets, you can call them givers. Matthew 25, 16 to 17. That we just read, 16 to 17, he said, then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. Praise the Lord. He invested with his talent. Whatever God has given unto you, invest with it. And as you invest with it, what is going to happen? It's going to appreciate. It's going to appreciate. I can tell you, many of us, we think we cannot do certain things. God has put it in you to do. You know, a small child that is learning how to walk, and then he tried to stand up and he's falling down, and he's not giving up. It's just a matter of time he's going to walk. But the one that say, I'm afraid to fall, that one may never walk or may take a while. And that is the true picture of many Christians. It's either we are not satisfied with what we are, or, you know, we are saying, I cannot do it, I cannot do it. Who says so? And the reason why actually you cannot do it is because you believe too much in yourself. But trust God, you can do it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. As long as you depend on God, you will do it. But it's because we depend on ourselves too much. And that was what happened to that person. But the other people, they trusted God. They invested with the talent that God has given unto them. They believe that they can, you know, he can appreciate. They have faith in God. They have faith in their master. The master who entrusted them with these resources. They said, no, we can do it. Praise the Lord. They serve God with their family. We are looking at the characteristics of the assets. They serve God with their family. Look at Joshua. He said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Last week, the preacher was telling us that it takes 2 generations to wipe away God. And it is true. It is true. And it bothers my mind to see believers leaving their children out of their relationship with God. I was a Muslim. I will tell us a quick story. As a Muslim, they will wake you up. As young, I can't remember. At least I can remember when I was 5 years old. They will wake me up. If I'm sleepwalking, they will drag me to mosque. Either you like it or not. They cannot leave me at home. Never. They will not even be nice to you with spanking. Serious one. Your eyes will be open right away. If you are sleepwalking, they will drag you to that. As early as 9 years or even younger than that, I was doing 30 days of fasting, even though it was, you know, in the wrong way. And those are good things that those people, they have, but they are doing it in the wrong way. They are serving unknown God. They are serving, you know, God that doesn't exist. Too bad for them. I appreciated it more when I became a Christian. I said, wow. So please, I'm begging you, invest in the life of your children. Serve God with your children. Whatever it's going to cost you, it's just a matter of time. Before you know it, these children, they are out of your house. They are not going to be with you forever. Give and take. Average, 21 years. Many of them, they are almost out. When they come visiting. Before you know it, they are married. They are gone. I can still remember many years back. But now, time is running fast. Now, my own children are growing up. So, the same way It happens to my parents. The same way it's going to happen to me too. The same way it's going to happen to you too. Think about that. Invest into their lives. And then we'll make this world a better place. And then God himself will be pleased with us. Why he has given us children. If you look at the word of God in book of Psalm 127, from verse 3 down to verse 5, he said, children, they are heritage of the Lord. He said, a fruit of it is a reward. He said, blessed is the man that has his house full of them. He said, they are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. The warrior that knows how to use them very well. That is the way God describes children. If you use them very well, they can turn, you know, the nations around for good. So, and God wants us to invest into their life. Let's not leave them. Train them. They will hear. They will listen. Pray for them. Talk to them. Teach them the word of God. Invest into their lives. They will do much more than what you have done for God. And God will be pleased with us. And that is the purpose why God has given us children. It's not for us to brag around with them. No. You will soon realize that they are not yours. That's the truth. You are just a caretaker. Because the day when I got married to my wife, and then after our wedding, that was it. Bye-bye. And she carried her load. She followed me. So what happened? They don't have control over her anymore now. So that's the way it is. The same way it's going to happen to every one of us. The Lord will give us understanding in Jesus' name. They are faithful in their tithe and offering. I don't want to talk too much about this. I think I've touched that before. They serve God sacrificially. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he said, I beseech you by the mercy of God. You know, I beseech you by the mercy of God. Make yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. God want you to serve him sacrificially. But many a time, it's like we think God is a beggar. You're not giving God your best. God sees all of these things. Serve God sacrificially. David said, whatever that will not cost me anything, I will not give my God. What you are giving God, is it costing you something? Is it costing you? Think about it. Do you feel it? That yes, I'm giving something to God. And that's what God is looking for. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They follow God wholeheartedly. They follow God wholeheartedly. Matthew 15, verse 8. He said, these people, they come near me with their mouth. They honor with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. God knows those hearts, those whose hearts are far away from him. When God sees a man, he looks at your heart first. He's not carried away. As human beings, we look at the appearance. We look at what they do. But the Bible says our God is the God of all knowledge, to whom every action is way. He looks through your heart and he knows whom you are first. The Lord will help you. The Lord will help me in Jesus' name. They are burden bearers. They are burden bearers. Assets. They are burden bearers. The Hebrews chapter 6 verse 2, he said, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Burden bearers. When one person is trying to carry this now, it may become a little bit, you know, burdensome to that person. But if two people carry it, it becomes so light. That's what happened. That's what church is all about. Let's be burden bearers. Let's carry each other's burden. Not just one person doing it. Let's do it together. Together. And if you read the book of Acts very well, that is what those, you know, disciples, what they were known for. And the Bible says they look at them and they call them Christian. They saw they were Christ-like. They studied them for over a year. And that's what they discovered about them. They are burden bearer. Are you a burden bearer? Or you are adding more burden, you know, to your brethren. And sometimes that's what I see in the church. It's not proper. Let us be burden bearers. The Lord will help you. The Lord will help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Reward for serving God. I'll quickly run through that. Let's read Malachi chapter 3, 13 to 18. A fast reader, please. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Malachi
Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. A fast reader, please. Three. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it is not new for you to actually, you know, ask God, I'm serving you. What is my reward? It's not, God understands that very well. God wants to reward you, but you understand that, you know, you want to see this reward. Now, the Bible tells us something here. In verse 14, it says, you have said it is useless to serve God. But I can tell you, it is not useless to serve God. There are believers who are thinking like that. We can see that in the Word of God. I didn't write this Bible. That is the Word of God. Some people are thinking like that. It is useless to serve God. It is not useless. It is not useless. That is based on lack of understanding that is making people to think like that. Maybe in the fourth system, it's because of what they want to get. That is why they are serving God. But if your primary motive is because you love God, then your attitude will change. But I can tell you that there is a reward, bountiful reward for those who serve God sincerely, not men pleasers. There are men pleasers in the church. I always talked about that. Don't be men pleasers. Serve God genuinely. You are not doing favor to anybody. Either somebody is around, it's not, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are, serve God. Let people know you, that you are a child of God. By the grace of God, anywhere I go to, it's not those people who visited me that will determine if I'm going to stay there. And they are not, it's not how much of their visitation that will determine what I'm going to do when I get there. I've made up my mind that, okay, if I'm there, I'm dead to serve God, and I release myself. It's as simple as that. The last church we attended in Grace in Saskatoon, the visiting team, they were still promised they are coming to greet us. After 3 years of being there and we have left, they never came to visit us. Of course, they came to visit us in another, but not as first timer anymore. So they came eventually later, but at that time we become friends, close friends. So they came and we went to their house, but not to come and visit our first timer. So what I'm trying to say is that is not really important to people who know the importance of serving God. When you go to the house of God, it's your house. Feel at home. It's your house. Feel at home. So it is not useless to serve God. That's the point I'm trying to make. Praise the Lord. Exodus 23, verse 25. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and your water. He will take sicknesses away from you. When you serve God, I just told us the other time, for over 25 years, sickness has not prevented me from going to church for once, but to the glory of God. My wife can bear witness, children can bear witness. That, oh, he was sick, that's why he didn't know. Never, by the grace of God. And before then, of course, malaria upon malaria and all of that. So that's what God can do. Psalm 34, verse 17. The Bible says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and deliver them out of all their troubles. God responds to desperate cry of those who serve him.
When you serve God wholeheartedly and you cry desperately, God hears and He responds. I'm saying desperate cry, desperate one. We can see account of all of that in the Bible. In the book of Exodus, I think chapter 2 now, the Bible says the children of Israel, they cry unto the Lord. God heard their cry. And He remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob. And immediately He raised up Moses to go and deliver them. 430 years they were in bondage. But a time came they cried desperately to God that God hear us. I have cried desperately to God before and God heard. I was enduring it, but at a time I cried like a baby. My family may not know. I cried like a baby, face down, God. Have mercy on me. And God responded. Ezekiah, he told God. God sent a message to him. He said, put your house in order. You are going to die. What did he do? He said, God, remember my service unto you. Can you talk to God like that? And say, remember how I serve you. You are in a desperate need. And you told God, God, remember how I have served you. Remember, I've sacrificed all for you. Well, not all, at least little. That's the way I pray. God, at least remember my little sacrifice. I've not made a lot, but a little one. Please, God, just remember that. Remember, recognize that little sacrifice that I've made. Please, Lord. And God always responds. Isaiah 3, verse 10, the Bible says, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. You are serving God wholeheartedly. God sees you as a righteous person. Your righteousness is not, we're not talking about self-righteousness. The Bible says our righteousness is of God. When you are serving God wholeheartedly with everything God has given you, with a genuine heart, not because of anybody, not because of any pastor, but you're just serving God because you love God. The Bible says, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. The whole world may turn upside down, may look as if no way, but the Lord will make a way. So those are some of the rewards that you get, when you serve God wholeheartedly. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it tells us the reward of them that diligently seek. When you diligently serve God, He rewards you. Diligently serve God, He rewards you. And lastly, there's an eternal reward in addition to earthly reward. If you look at Luke chapter 18, verse 28 to 30. Luke chapter 18, verse 28 to 30. There was a conversation between the disciple and the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Peter who spearheaded that conversation. He said, Lord, we are forsaking everything. We are following you. What do you have to give us? And Jesus Christ responded. He said, in this world, I will give you 100-fold. And in addition, you have eternal life. That is Jesus. Our God, He does not owe anybody anything. That is a fact. Try it. I'm not telling you theories. I'm telling you things that are practical. That myself and many other people, some of us who are sitting down here, we have practiced and it has worked for us. And it will continue to work for you. You serve God sincerely. So my question to you this morning, are you an asset or a liability? Every one of us, we have come to God like a liability. But God wants us to become assets. So where are you today? Wherever you are, it's not the end of the story. God wants to transform your life. If you think you're a liability, it's okay. God can still transform your life. All you need to do is just make up your mind. God can turn you to an asset. And I pray that all of us will be assets in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise up and take two prayer points before we round up.